This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome to the show. Today we're going to be talking about what's going on with BRAC. We've been talking about it for the past couple years, but now BRAC is at the timetable. 2012, we're supposed to be all over, but we're still dealing with a couple BRAC issues. If you don't know about BRAC, BRAC is the Base Realignment Commission, and the Base Realignment whole process where a number of federal workers, especially Department of Defense, were basically forced to move into different areas. Some had to move and out of the state. Some had to move to places like Alabama, Kentucky, and other areas. But now that's coming to a close, and we're trying to find out and get an update about what's happening with BRAC. We're talking to the BRAC coordinator, Dr. Andrea Morris, and she's on the line with us right now. Andrea, welcome.
Thank you, Derek.
Talk to about, you know, it's 2012.
Yes.
Things were supposed to be over 2011. Where are we right now? I mean, have all the agencies moved? Are we completely at a point of BRAC being over? You know, we had the Mark Center dynamic. We talked about traffic problems. Give us a current update on where BRAC stands.
Well, the Mark Center dynamic and traffic problems continue.
Oh, wow. Okay. Talk to us.
We still have about 1,400 of the positions that are relocating to the Mark Center still in Crystal City and Roslyn and Virginia Square. They're mainly in Arlington. There are some that are in Falsher and Alexandria, but they're mainly in Arlington. Those jobs are still there. They will not relocate fully into the Mark Center until September of this year. So we have another 9 months before the full relocation for the Mark Center is completed. And that speaks right into the transportation issue. The reason DOD is staggering to this length is an attempt to avoid the added congestion, because there certainly is congestion already.
Sure.
But the added congestion and the anticipated backup that will come from an additional 6,400 jobs being at that location. So we're still in the throes of this.
So right now we've got, maybe about a couple thousand who've moved to the new Mark Center, who are currently working there. And the agencies who will be housed there are who?
There are about 4,000 seats, and I use that word purposely because that's the term that DOD uses. What they've shared with us is they have moved 4,000 stations, four positions themselves into the Mark Center. That does not mean that all of those stations are filled.
Okay.
All those positions are
filled. So it's a difference between stations and actual people.
Yes, there okay. is. There is. And that's an important distinction because that, while there may be 4,000 stations inside, there's still room for more people to be there, which will be added congestion around the area. So we're watching that as well. And your question about
the agencies who have been moved over there.
The agencies are inside. It's within the Washington Headquarters Services.
Okay.
There are nine different directorates that are included in that. So it is anywhere from the IG's office, DOD IG's office, to human education activity, to the chief information officer, to some of the Army logistics activity, all those kinds of activities are inside there.
Okay. So with those different activities moving over there and it's this kind of staggering effect, are you still hearing some pushback from, because I know a lot of the things were pushback from the community members, worried about traffic,
mm-hmm.
you know, pushback from various stakeholders in the area about this traffic concern. That what I'm hearing is that they're trying to do a staggering effect so the impact won't be as major. Is there also a talk about maybe doing more telecommuting or a telework. I know the government is very, very, very big on telework. Mm-hmm. Is it talk about more of that being put in place?
Washington Headquarters Service is the entity that's responsible for this relocation to the Mark Center, and they are working to use all types of alternative scheduling, flex scheduling, including telework. The directorate, of course, must put forward their stipulations about who can telework, the amount of time they can be away from the office. So all those are added factors into it that must be accommodated. But yes, to your answer to your question, yes, they are looking at the full gamut of alternative work.
And there's a number of telework centers in Arlington and Alexandria and other places, right? I mean, there's a couple of them in the whole area in Virginia, right?
Yes, there are. And the Defense Information Systems Agency, or DISA, in particular, was looking at one before they moved out to Fort Meade in order to maintain as many of their staff as possible. And that one's down in the Woodbridge area. And there are private ones that are in Arlington as well. In addition, the GSA has a few around the area. So, yes, there are telework centers already in use. What's coming more to the table now is this concept of hoteling.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Hoteling means that there might be a space at desk that is used by multiple people. Because the work can be done remotely, workers are often in cafes and or a Barnes & Noble or places like that that have Wi-Fi and accessibility to do their work. Meetings are held not in the office mm-hmm. much now as it was before. And so the hoteling concept is going to be really, really big going forward. And I'm going to insert something here that off topic for a moment, but it's going to be really large as the federal government looks to reduce its footprint. And there are many mandates about real estate and getting rid of excess real estate and reducing the carbon footprint, which will in fact reduce the physical size agencies. And that means the agencies will really get into this hoteling and sharing of space.
Well, we'll talk about that further in the show. With that being the case, I mean, are you feeling positive that, you know, with this whole, BRAC move, the Mark Center, and maybe federal agencies who are working, WHS and everybody else working at putting people in either hoteling or kind of doing the telework dynamic or, staggered shifts or however the case is, do you feel hopeful that the impact will not be as bad? I mean, are there any kind of changes or any kind of legislation that is going to maybe, hold things in order for the impact to not be as bad?
Well, as part of the defense authorization activity, and this was specifically part of the omnibus that came out of conference, again, DOD has to demonstrate this 90-day consecutive of not reaching a level of service of F around the Mark Center, which is really important. That will work to ensure, quote-unquote, as much as possible that DOD is monitoring when additional staff do begin to populate Mark Center, that additional staff does not add to the congestion around the Mark Center. That's one activity that's in place. And then there's a new initiative around a quote-unquote real-time ride-sharing program. The Northern Virginia Regional Commission, or NVRC, received a $600,000 grant, part of it majority from Federal Highways and then some from VDOT and Arlington, Alexandria, and Fairfax as well. And the concept is to use this real-time app that Avigo, which is a corporation that produced it, has in place that allows workers to look up on their mobile phones, their smartphones, and request a ride to see who is coming up, 95 or 395, and tap into that. Now, it's going to be in a pilot phase for several months, and the idea is to get about 1,000 riders and 500 drivers or so, and the drivers would be paid $25 in gas per month. Each rider would receive 5 free rides, and then thereafter it will be $1 a ride and about 20 cents per mile.
But who's going to be paying? Are you paying the driver directly, or is it, this is coming out? This is almost kind of an advanced type of slugging that's been in the area, the D.C. area for a while. That, you know, if you've been in D.C. and you see kind of people standing on the side
with a sign,
which, when I first saw it, I was like, what are these people doing? You know, I mean, it was very, very kind of startling at first.
Yeah.
But it's called slugging. But this is basically kind of an advanced form of slugging.
It is. It is indeed. That's a very appropriate term for it. It is a more formalized bout of slugging, a round of slugging. And what it does is they hope it will incentivize persons to join this card pool because, again, it's real time. The data will go through Avigo into this app, and people can access it on their phone. They will know when a vehicle is coming up, and they will pay into a system. They're not paid directly. It goes into a system, into an account, if you will. And the $25 is deposited into this person's account, and they will use it for the gas. But those who pay to ride, for example, the dollar per ride and the 20 cents per mile, will also pay that into this account. So no money is exchanged, which is really important. We want to avoid that. No money is exchanged, but it will begin to pay for itself.
With that, so it sounds as if there are a number of initiatives. And has this already been developed, or this is in the process of being developed?
It's in a pilot stage now.
Okay.
This beginning in March, they will begin recruiting drivers and riders.
Okay.
And the program itself is expected to kick off May or June. So I would encourage, you know, riders to get onto NVRC's website. Again, it's Northern Virginia Regional Commission. Get on the website, take a look at it, investigate it. If it's something that you think would work for you, by all means, you know, use it to take advantage of it.
And that's, it's a Northern Region, what is it again?
Northern Virginia Regional Commission.
Okay. Northern Virginia Regional Commission. I'm typing in the website right now while you're talking so that we can give them, it looks like it's novaregion.org. That's where they'll find it at?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. We'll take a quick break. We're talking about some breaking things right here in terms of the BRAC, in terms of transportation, and in terms of how to help BRAC workers who are impacted by the BRAC moving to the Mark Center and everything else, help them get to their jobs in a more effective way because they're off the metro line now. And they have to find different ways of transportation to get there. We're going to talk more about BRAC when we come back. We're talking to Dr. Andrea Morris. She is the BRAC coordinator of Arlington, Virginia. That's right, Dr. Morris, right?
Yeah.
She's the BRAC coordinator, and we'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Derek T. Dorch on Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Powered by the latest second-generation Intel Core processors, new HP ProLiant GS servers are an ideal choice for reducing power costs and getting a jump on your cloud computing initiatives. GovConnection, a federal elite HP partner, can show you how the power of HP and Intel can achieve ROI in as little as 2 months. Talk to GovConnection and find out how, together, they can power your data center into the future. Call 800-800-0019 today.
Are you a loyal credit card user and your only reward is a high interest rate? Looking for a provider you can trust? With a State Department Federal Credit Union credit card, you'll not only earn reward points, but you'll also have one of the lowest credit card rates around. With a low rate and no hidden fees, you'll enjoy all the benefits of owning a credit card without the high cost to you. Plus, earn one reward point for every dollar you spend. Points can be redeemed for travel, dining, appliances, and more. Call 1-800-296-8882 or visit sdfcu.org to learn more. Unlock the rewards today.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on Federal News Radio at 10 a.m. Please join my partner, John Dedon, as he interviews Kevin Hanford of Hanford Financial, Certified Financial Planner, this Saturday. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area. To learn more about the firm, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I joined the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife. My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
Hi, this is Byron Kerr. I know it's great to listen to me tell you all about the shaking and baking and thunder jams of Colonials men's basketball on Federal News Radio, but there's nothing like seeing it live at the Charles E. Smith Center. Come to Foggy Bottom with the whole family to raise high the buff and blue and enjoy great college hoops against some of the country's most exciting teams at a great price. I'll still be around for road games, so visit gwsports.com or call 202-994-7325 to raise high the buff and blue today.
It is one of our most sophisticated drones, and Iran claims that it was hijacked using a flaw in the GPS guidance system. They got the drone to think that it was in Afghanistan when it was actually still in Iran, and so the drone landed at its home base, thinking it was home base, right, but actually it was in Iran.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
This holiday season, think about those who have given so much in the name of freedom. The Combat Soldiers Recovery Fund provides financial aid to American soldiers, sailors, and Marines who are recovering from severe wounds in service to our nation. Every dollar goes to military hospitals in the Washington, D.C. area. No overhead, no bureaucracy. Your donation provides immediate funds for the everyday needs of service members facing a long, hard recovery far from home. To donate or to get more information, please visit Combat Soldiers Recovery Fund.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been talking about the BRAC, and we've been talking about any kind of final issues with the BRAC. The BRAC is supposed to be over in 2011, but it's definitely going to be over in 2012, where all agencies will have been moved to their new locations, either across the country or in the region, whether it be Maryland, in the D.C. area, or the Northern Virginia area. So we're talking about what's happening, any kind of updates, any kind of issues that are still left out there hanging. We're talking to Dr. Andrea Morris. She is the BRAC coordinator for Arlington, Virginia, and she's giving us an update. Dr. Morris, when we just kind of left out, you kind of gave us some new news about this advanced slugging, this app. Mm-hmm. That's going to be an app, I'm assuming, is going to be able to be used on an iPhone or yep. Android and everywhere else that anybody has a smartphone. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And they can find that, and it'll be launched. You mentioned it'll be launched in March.
They will begin the recruitment of the riders and the drivers in March.
And it's going to be a 1,000-person program?
1,000 riders and about 500 drivers.
Will it all have to be people who are DOD?
Yes. It is limited to the DOD community, and that includes contractors for DOD.
So you will have to be able to prove that you are a DOD person in order to get with this program, and in whatever way they prove that. And then from there, if you are a driver, you can receive a certain kind of, you know, small stipend or so to drive. And then for riders can ride so many times free, and then they'll have to pay in order, you know, after so many rides, they have to pay a small fee
mm-hmm.
to ride back and forth for the slug with somebody.
That's correct.
And that person who is the driver will receive that money from the riders?
No. Again, no money will be exchanged in between rider and driver. It will all go into an account.
Well, no, what I mean is that once it goes into an account, will the driver receive something, you know, or they just get their $25 a month or whatever the case is?
That's correct.
Okay.
The $25 a month for the gas.
Okay, so whatever is paid, that goes just to support the program?
Correct.
Okay. So this would be launching. Are there any other initiatives that's happening or any other kind of BRAC developments that we need to know about as we close out in 2012?
Well, there, as the budget issues abound for Department of Defense, and of course not only for defense, but as we're talking about that sector right now, we are watching and waiting to see what the outcome will be regarding DOD cuts. And everything is on the table, according to Secretary Panetta, which also means that there could be another BRAC round.
Okay.
Installations are always a location for money, for potential savings. And we've been hearing rumors and scuttlebutt, actually since 2005, about there being another BRAC round. First we were told 2012, and now for 2014, 2015. Of course, there are all rumors at this point, but we are watching it and paying attention because that certainly is something that we will have to get ourselves ready for. I don't know what else Arlington can give at this point, but certainly we want to pay attention to that. So the budget issues are very, very much a concern for us, and as each of the services prepares to trim their budget, it's affecting the staffing. The Army has already stated they're going to cut 8,000 plus jobs, Air Force 7,000 jobs, and now we've heard that the Marines are going to be reduced, not quite in half, but certainly are going to lose a number, and they're the smallest branch overall. And so we're watching that as well. While those are not direct, quote-unquote, BRAC issues, they are certainly defense issues, and we want to be responsive to those as well.
So what's happening is that as we're starting to move from BRAC and move kind of from the transition of these agencies and the moving of people, and you know, that's becoming a less dominant issue, but now the issue that's no longer the pink elephant in the room, and now is very much so the obvious issue, is this scale down of government, and both on the federal side, the military side, and everything else. And you're saying that your organization, where you guys run the BRAC Transition Center and everything else, you guys are starting to monitor this and starting to kind of maybe getting ready and getting yourself possibly prepared to deal with federal employees who may be reduced, a reduction in force, layoffs, or things like that.
That's correct. That's correct. Because we have the experience with the federal sector, DOD certainly is a beast into its own.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that very lovingly, but it's a beast into its own. And it's given us a lot of experience and skill in working with that population. We've worked with DOD staff to get them transitioned into other federal agencies, so we've been engaged and involved with other federal activities, so they're not unknown to us, and we do have some relationships already established. But we certainly want to be responsive to, we have the resources and the capability, and the center is already here, so we are working with our leadership and our funding sources to continue the center and its activities. It will no longer be called a BRAC Transition Center. We're working to create a federal Career Transition Center.
Okay. Reports. Well, do you see the resources, or I mean, I know that you were funded through Department of Labor and I think Department of Defense money or so. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. But you were funded through those outlets. Are you seeing the funding sources through labor or the defense or other agencies, OPM, whoever the case is, who's saying, hey, listen, we do need to start ramping up, a kind of a federal career, federal transition center? Are you starting to see that come out in terms of funding resources or through the federal business opportunities, through RFPs?
That's a really good question. The Department of Labor has decided to fund us through this year.
Okay.
And so far, and we're certainly going to request additional funding for 2013. We're making our case, and it's not a hard case to make by any stretch of the imagination when we see the numbers that are being presented to us as potential rifts and cuts and separations as a whole. So we are fully operational for 2012 and are prepared to put our request in for additional funding for 2013. And it's not only through the Department of Labor. I'll be going back to the state, the Commonwealth of Virginia, requesting some support as well. So I'm pretty confident that we will have those resources available, made available to us. I don't anticipate us being turned away, quote unquote, if I may say it that way, because the need will be such a great need.
With that being the case, and if those resources are made available, then basically the model that is already in place with having, counselors, and I mean, because now your people are expertise, have a very, very strong expertise in terms of helping the federal workforce, no matter what agency, find jobs. Are we looking at a scenario where, because a lot of people, especially BRAC, they wanted to stay federal government.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them, were able, and you have some people who were contractors who want to get federal government, but a lot of the people were able to find maybe other federal jobs.
Yeah.
We're looking at a new a new kind of situation now, aren't we, where these people may not be able to find the same level of federal jobs. I mean, is that what you're seeing?
Yes. And that is a concern for us as well. As we, you know, read the papers every day and we monitor, you know, we receive the updates daily throughout the day of what's going on in the various sectors. Yes, we're certainly concerned about that and are monitoring that and are paying attention to where the job surges are, because there certainly are some. Cybersecurity, in your article certainly today, pointed to that. Cybersecurity is increasing. There's going to be a need to continue in that vein and to, in order to protect us in a different way. The emergency management field is another. Security and intelligence as a whole, I think, will continue to grow. Then you have some of the other side, you know, agriculture. We have a need to understand and know how do we make better choices related to our land use, and that's a huge factor. So we're paying attention to those sectors that we believe are going to grow, and not only that we believe, we're paying attention to where their money is being put, most importantly, and that informs how we work with the population and what we encourage them toward.
With that being the case, and you're looking at these money resources, when we get off the break, we need to take a quick break. I want to kind of get your take on, especially after working for years with this sector in the federal sector, what advice, you know, would you give federal, especially, you know, somebody who is possibly looking at an agency who is being cut? And I'm not sure if you're hearing from people who are already saying, hey, listen, our agency is starting to give us notice, you know, to be aware. We'll talk about that on the next segment. But I want to kind of get a take on it on from your experiences of these several years of working with, you know, federal workers who are being transitioned. You know, what are some of the, you know, top advice you can give somebody to prepare for this thing, you know, as it's coming down the pike? We're talking about BRAC. We're talking about now not only BRAC, but we're talking about the next phase in terms of budget cuts, you know, reduction in force of the federal government and also reduction in force of the military. And what's the impact? How should people prepare for that? We're talking with Dr. Andrea Morris. She is a BRAC coordinator of the BRAC Center in Arlington, Virginia, which will hopefully become the federal transition of Federal Career Center in Arlington, Virginia, at some point in time to deal with these issues. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch.
Engineering, information technology, and intelligence professionals. When you are powered by innovation and guided by integrity, everything is possible. We invite you to explore a future with the largest provider of IT services, systems integration, and training to the U.S. government. Lockheed Martin will be attending several job fair events the rest of this month in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Stop by our booth to discuss opportunities available with programs in a number of D.C. metro locations and overseas. We are seeking cleared individuals with expertise in engineering, information technology, and intelligence analysis. For details on these opportunities and our events, or to chat live with one of our recruiters, visit www.lockheedmartinjobs.com/WTOP and click on events. Everything is possible with Lockheed Martin. Remember, visit www.lockheedmartinjobs.com/WTOP and click on events. Lockheed Martin is an equal opportunity employer.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m.
In the beloved fairy tale Beauty and the Beast, Belle and the Beast learn that true beauty is found within and live happily ever after. Today, our happily ever afters are being threatened by the fact that nearly 1 in 3 children in America are overweight or obese. Now is the time to make good nutrition and physical activity part of your family's daily lifestyle. To learn more, visit letsmove.gov, brought to you by Let's Move, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Ad Council.
Navy Rear Admiral retired Elizabeth A. Height, Vice President, U.S. Public Sector Cybersecurity Practice, HP Enterprise Services, on the Cybersecurity Combating Threats to Our Software Environment panel, sponsored by Hewlett-Packard.
Look at what the National Defense Authorization Act, signed last January, has required the Department of Defense to do, and that is require the department to implement software security assurance capabilities for both deployed software and that software that is being delivered.
Could your IT security have made you less secure? Traditional IT security defenses, firewalls, encryption, and intrusion detection systems are extremely effective, and that's the problem. They're so good that the bad guys are now training their sights on a new target: exploitable vulnerabilities in software applications. HP can help governments secure mission-critical applications by designing security in from the beginning, finding the vulnerabilities inside existing software, and fixing them quickly and cost-effectively. To learn more, visit federalnewsradio.com/HP. Congress enacted legislation that requires $1.2 trillion in budget cuts before January 2013. But where and how will these cuts be made? Join host Jane Norris on Fed Central as Robin Leinberger, John Powers, and Joanne Boutel of Deloitte discuss strategies for reducing costs without significantly impacting core missions. Tune in to Deloitte's Fed Central, Wednesday, January 18th at 11:30 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. to learn more.
It may sound impossible, but engineers at Virginia Tech are designing a car for the blind, not a car that drives itself, one in which the driver has control. A regular car is being equipped with numerous sensors like laser rangefinders and cameras that act like its eyes. Dennis Hong, a Virginia Tech professor, says a computer can turn that sensor data into a virtual map of the surrounding area.
The critical part is, how do we convey these vast amounts of information real time to a person, an operator who cannot see?
Non-visual interfaces like 3D sound and puffs of air give information about speed and surroundings. Other cues provide guidance, like the drive grip.
This is a glove that you put on your hand, and there's tiny vibrating motors on the knuckle part. So depending on the pattern of the vibration, it gives instructions how to turn the steering wheel.
Hong says new technologies developed in making cars for the blind could lead to safer devices in everyone's car. More at nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
FederalNewsRadio.com, your one-stop shop for all things federal. Listen daily to interviews with federal managers and government contractors. Read Mike Causey's daily federal report, or just stop by for an update on the latest news affecting the federal community. FederalNewsRadio.com, your source for federal news now.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about what's going on with the BRAC. That's kind of coming to its end. And now we're talking about what's going on with these budget cuts. Agencies are talking about reduction of force. We're talking about a number of different issues that's having an impact on the federal workforce, defense contracting workforce, and also members of the military. We're talking to Dr. Andrea Morris. She is the BRAC coordinator of Arlington, Virginia, and she has a real good handle on what's going on after working with the federal workforce for several years. Dr. Morris, I know we were talking about, you know, a lot of different changes, you know, 8,000 people being possibly laid off from the Army or whoever the case is. Working with these different federal agencies for so long, you know, and if you are starting to read the tea leaves, what advice would you start giving to maybe a federal worker whose agency is a target right now?
That's such a good question. One of the most important things that I find for workers to do is to recognize the value of the work that they do. And what I mean by that is when you're speaking with or working with your supervisor or your coworker, understand and know where your agency fits into the scheme of the federal work. When it comes to times where rumors begin to come up and there are going to be separations coming forward, that's the time to begin conversations about your work specifically with your supervisor, with the division head. Don't be afraid to have that conversation.
Now, you know, let me ask a quick question before you go on. Mm-hmm. Are we anticipating just more the reduction of force kind of being kind of early retirements and things like that? Or is it going to drill down into people who, you know, kind of maybe first in, first out? You know, what, as you're looking at the numbers and you're looking at, you know, or even hearing the rumblings from, you know, contacts you have in the federal government, what are we possibly seeing as the impact?
Right now, it is really using reduction, separations, voluntary separations and or early retirement. It's giving the option right now, which is a good thing. I commend the agencies and the organizations for putting that forward first. It's giving the worker, quote unquote, a little more control over their future.
But will that honestly get down to the numbers that that they're talking about? I mean,
that certainly is the question. That leads me to my deliberate statement about the worker going to their supervisor, going to their division head, and having this conversation, saying, "Look, I'm hearing rumblings. I just want to have a very frank conversation about where we are as a department, as an office, whatever it happens to be, and what do I need to do to get ready? Meaning, do I need to start showing my value to the agency more so that I'm worth keeping and maybe moving to a different department? Or do I need to start using my networks and getting myself out there and meeting with other offices or organizations?" That's a very, very important conversation to have and to, again, not be afraid to initiate.
You know, a lot of people are, and tell me, let's even take it back from this. What are maybe some of the top mistakes or the top maybe issues that you and the team there mm-hmm. saw from BRAC, you know, because a lot of people were civilians.
Mm-hmm.
What were some of the top issues that you saw from some of those impacted by BRAC that maybe a Fed who's listening or a contractor who's listening can say, "Well, I may have that same issue. I need to get past that." I mean, what were some of the issues that you saw?
Well, again, DOT being its entity into itself, an insulated world, and I do use that word purposely because DOD, its training methodology is to respond when you're spoken to. You do what you're commanded to do, and that reached the civilian population. And so what we found is that they had a very difficult time recognizing work that was beyond their, quote-unquote, day-to-day work. As an example, a worker would have led a team that successfully saved their office, their department, millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. That is huge. That's absolutely huge. But when we have a conversation with them about it, that's a success, and we want you to really work that into your resume and your share that and exploit that even, they say, "You know, that's just part of my job." Well, no, it's not. And we need you to recognize, again, it's knowing your value and how you present yourself. It's a marketing tool, and that's uncomfortable. It makes people very, very unsettled in themselves because it's not a normal thing that we do, but we have to do that when it comes to the job market because it's so competitive right now in particular. And as the reduction in forces and the separations occur, it's going to become that much more competitive. So every word that you put on a resume has got to have a meaning. It has to speak and jump off the page.
Mm-hmm.
And so we find that that population, the DOD population in particular, has a very, very, very difficult time. Again, because I'm just doing what I'm told, or I'm just doing my job. And so we had to do some counseling, literal counseling.
yeah.
About that.
I'm sure you have some interesting stories on that. do you think that, and I know Department of Defense has its own little world, but as we start maybe talking mm-hmm. about other areas mm-hmm. that and it may not be as much just a military dynamic, but every agency has its own kind of culture, its own kind of wording, its own kind of federal jargon, its own kind of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Are we maybe thinking about some of the same issues as it relates to other federal workers who have a hard time getting out of agency speak?
Right.
And getting out of, you know, that whole kind of, you know, like you said, insulated dynamic and starting to think about, how could I apply what I do to a number of different industries?
Absolutely. And that's, you hit it on the nail. Absolutely. What we find and have to work very hard is we want them to use plain language.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to take the jargon out.
We want the whole government to lose plain language.
But we absolutely do. We want the whole government to use plain language. So please, please, please use plain language.
Mm-hmm.
But for the worker who comes in and wants assistance with their resume and even interviewing, we want you to speak in a manner that a layperson can understand. That we want you to be able to tell the story and relay exactly what you did in words that have meaning to the person sitting across from you. You know, we have acronyms out of our ears, and they mean nothing. They absolutely mean nothing. Unless you're inside that office or that agency, and undoing some of that is a huge, huge part of the work that the workforce staff here does every day, every day.
Sure. We're talking to Dr. Andrea Morris. She is the BRAC coordinator, and she deals a lot with economic development as well, being a BRAC coordinator. But she's the BRAC coordinator for Arlington, Virginia. They deal a number with different issues. They're transitioning from BRAC to more of a federal workforce issues, federal transitions, as we're dealing with these budget cuts and everything else. And a number of agencies are going to have to reduce their size in terms of personnel and their footprint across the United States. We'll be right back after this break and keep this conversation going. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
America's top show about planning for retirement is on 1500 AM WFED. Sunday mornings at 8, it's the Financial Safari. Each week, America's income planner, Coach Pete DeRuda, sits down with father-daughter duo from Northern Virginia, retirement planners Don and Jill O'Rourke from O'Rourke Asset Management. Sunday mornings at 8. It's the Financial Safari on 1500 AM WFED.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. Our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon Family Groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable, but I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you could learn in an Al-Anon family group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
If you are facing advanced illness or the end of life of a loved one, peace of mind is in short supply. Fortunately, pain-free comfort care is available from the Washington Home and Community Hospices, a not-for-profit organization with a holistic team of doctors, nurses, caregivers, social workers, chaplains, and volunteers. The team comes to you in your home or wherever you call home in D.C., Montgomery, or Prince George's County. For your peace of mind, call them day or night for a complimentary consultation at 866-234-7222.
Here's Dr. Daniel Gerstein, Deputy Undersecretary of the DHS Science and Technology Directorate, commenting during a recent panel discussion titled Can Innovation Survive Budget Cuts? Sponsored by Noblis.
You know, unfortunately, the problem is you cannot just directly import technologies. They have to go through some sort of harmonization. In DOD, there is lots of time to train soldiers. In the Department of Homeland Security, there is no time to train anyone. We are an operational entity, and we are on the front line every day. And with that sort of requirement, we do not have the opportunity to do lots of hands-on training.
To listen to the program in its entirety, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Today's budget-constrained environment requires government agencies to do more, faster, with fewer resources. Noblis is a science, technology, and strategy organization that excels at turning ideas into innovation. Through advanced technology, creativity, and resourcefulness, Noblis is helping agencies meet their mission objectives and accelerate the time it takes to go from ideas to implementation. Learn more at Noblis.com.
You download the free applications for your iPhone or iPad or Android smartphone, and then you go to their network, and then it knows all of the infrared codes for these things, and it's got the programming for 500 models. And then once you download the specific details for the model of the equipment that you have, this remote control will control everything.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
It's about smiles. It's about laughter. It's about going out and making a difference in the life of a child. You don't have to get mad. You just have to go mad. GoMad2011.com is a website dedicated to supporting the Make-A-Wish Foundation. At GoMad, our mission is simple, to go out and make a difference. So how can you help? Visit the Wish Wall on GoMad2011.com and make a contribution today. Or find out how you can donate with a simple text message. Do it now so that we can continue to touch the lives of children with life-threatening conditions by granting their wishes.
Government financial managers are committed to produce timely, reliable, and useful financial information. Stay on top of issues that affect you at AGA's 10th Annual National Leadership Conference, February 16th and 18th at the Ronald Reagan Building and International Trade Center. AGA's NLC features the latest tools and innovations to help agencies do their jobs more easily and more effectively. Don't miss it. Register today at agacgfm.org/NLC.
Tired of playing catch up with the news? Stay informed all the time with the Federal News Flash. The Federal News Flash is a daily email from Federal News Radio that will bring you the latest news and information about the federal government and the federal contracting world. Find out about exclusive stories and interviews only heard on Federal News Radio. Sign up for the Federal News Flash at federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been talking about a number of different issues, starting off with the BRAC. The BRAC is coming to a closure right now. We talked about what is happening as we're coming to the finalization of the BRAC, not only in the area, but across the nation. Then we started talking about the federal transition, the budget dynamics in terms of a federal government kind of reducing its force, reducing its workforce, reducing its footprint across the United States in the D.C. area. And now we're talking about how federal workers who are possibly impacted by this reduction of force, by these budget cuts and everything else, how they can land on their feet, whether it be finding a new job, whether it be possibly starting a business. We're talking to Dr. Andrea Morris. She is the BRAC coordinator of Arlington County. They've been dealing with the BRAC, and now they're starting to deal with federal transition, federal workforce issues as we deal with these budget cuts. Dr. Morris, you know, we were talking about, you know, the dynamic of, you know, what you've seen with the BRAC population and maybe how a person can start thinking about some things. But we're also now talking about entrepreneurship as possibly being the role that you should take. Maybe if you're a person who's getting a buyout and maybe if you can afford to do this or plan this out the right way, entrepreneurship may be the path for you. I mean, what's your thoughts and what resources are you seeing out there? I know you have an economic development arm that's been working on, you know, helping people start their own, I mean, especially during the BRAC, you were helping people start their own businesses. What are you seeing?
Absolutely. Of course, we know that small businesses are the backbone of the country. I mean, I'm not saying anything that no one is not aware of. And entrepreneurship is where it begins. Innovation, creativity, all those things occur, and then we have growth from there. So if a worker is interested, if they really understand, you know, the expertise that they have, how it can benefit a sector, then by all means, it's worth a conversation. And we have our Biz Launch, which is our small business development activity as part of economic development for Arlington County. And Tara Palacios, she's married now. Tara Palacios is a director and is top-notch. She's nationally recognized. She knows what she's doing. And importantly, we have relationships with the SBA. Mm-hmm. We have relationships with activities at the state, the Commonwealth itself. And so there are classes, there are programming that's available to an interested party at no cost to them. I would say 98% of what we put forward is at no cost to the worker or to the aspiring entrepreneur to come in and understand what it means to have a business plan. How do you take this thought that you have and put it on paper and make it robust and be able to answer the question, is it viable? Again, it has to be a viable idea. Is it something that someone would invest in? You know, do we have networks and infrastructure around the area that already in place that can support it? You know, is it something that you can market that people will catch on to? All of those are very important questions, and the programming that's available through BizLaunch as part of economic development, again, is right there. Classes are there. They're taught by experts in the area, in the field. You can ask as many questions as you need, and then you can also get one-on-one counseling.
So what you're saying is that if you're a person, if you're a federal worker or contractor, whatever the case is, and you really do have that idea in your mind, and it may not be that you're going to start the business this year. You may be thinking, okay, I may start it next year or 2 years down the road. Mm-hmm. But a person can begin getting into these classes for free, being sponsored by a center like yours, and I know there are centers like yours in other places, but they can begin getting these classes for free, learning about the full business planning process, the mm-hmm. business development process, and will the people who are counseling them, will they walk them through the full, I mean, so if a person is going to these classes and they say, okay, I'm ready for implementation,
mm-hmm.
will they walk them through the implementation process to help them get them started?
Yes, I won't drop you.
Okay, so it's not just a class and then, all right, go ahead and fly.
No, absolutely. No, nothing like that. Because there are a lot of I's and T's that have to be crossed and dotted, and it is a daunting process. It's not comfortable all the time. It can be scary, all those things. So, yes, you have the support, absolutely.
With that, I mean, in terms for your team, how do people find out? I mean, do they still contact the BRAC Arlington Center
mm-hmm.
to still get the, I mean, if you're a federal worker or maybe a contractor or somebody who's being impacted by, you know, the reduction of force or budget cuts, do they contact your center directly?
Certainly can. And most important location is our website.
Okay.
Because the information is on our website. We have our business services webpage, and it details those types of activities. Our calendar also, which is on the website, will detail when those programs are available. You have to register for them. That's an important point. You have to register.
Okay.
Because we need a count. But just go on our website, and I'll give it to you. It's www.BRACArlingtonVA.us. Again, so
www.BRACArlingtonVA.us. Okay, so they can find all the information right there
mm-hmm.
in order to begin kind of planning out the process. With that being the case, you know, do you see, because some people will say, okay, I've got the classes, I've got the education, I've got somebody to walk me through this. Are you seeing funding coming from either federal government or, you know, I mean, you're working kind of on the state and local level.
Mm-hmm.
Are you seeing funding that will kind of support and maybe prop up a person if they, you know, in terms of investment in business or how are we looking with that?
It is beginning to increase.
Okay.
I'm hopeful.
Okay.
Well, SBA is fighting its own battles regarding budget, but it certainly recognizes the need to increase that investment into this community, again, because this is where job growth is going to come from, by and large. And so the SBA certainly provides funding, and the Commonwealth does as well. Our own small business initiative at the Commonwealth level is active, and I want them to be very active, and they're active and are growing again in their response and their support. So it's competitive. Again, I mean, that word is
and when you say competitive, because I mean that seems to be the word of the day.
Yes.
I mean, you know, competitive, whether it be the job market or whether it be getting funding, you know, for your business. When we're talking about competitive, are you saying that certain businesses, I mean, you know, it has to be maybe a certain kind of business idea has to. So if, you know, if it's a business that deals with cybersecurity, that's going to get possible more funding than a bakery. I mean, are we looking at that, or is it more about who has the best business plan? I mean, what are we looking at?
It's the business plan.
Okay.
It has to be sound. Again, it has to demonstrate the value to the community, wherever it happens to be. It might be intuitive to think that a cybersecurity or our intelligence activity is going to get funding over a bakery, but not necessarily. Again, if your plan is sound, if you can demonstrate and show the value, if you can demonstrate the need for it and already a following, if I may say it that way, for it, then put it forward.
On that note, we've got to get going, but thank you so much. We'll check in with you. I know there's some new developments happening. We're going to check in with you as those new developments happen later on in the year to kind of get some updates on some things that's going on. But we just appreciate you giving us this update, Dr. Morris.
Sure. My pleasure.
We've been talking to Dr. Andrea Morris. She's the BRAC coordinator at Arlington, Virginia, getting an update on BRAC, getting an update on the federal transition issues. We'll be back next week and keep on talking about what's going on in the federal government on Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFPD. Your source for federal news now.